Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Did you?
Yeah.
God, you're the size of your fucking head.
I know.
How big is your head?
Oh, massive. How big is your head? I don't know. Do we measure head sizes?
Is that thing wobbling behind him? Can we just kill that thing, Hannah? Because that just looks like there's something growing out of his head, back of his neck. I'm so sorry, ladies and gentlemen.
I can't see it in the shot. Though.
Can you not?
No.
Oh, okay. I'll just go like this.
Yeah. Okay. You don't want to wear. Boy, is the headphone? Actually, can we just? Yeah. Can people see how big your head is? Okay. By just.
Yeah.
No. So that's like.
You can slightly.
Is that uncomfortable to wear it?
Usually they extend.
Yeah. Go on.
Yeah. Of course. Like here.
Do you never wear?
I never wear headphones.
We have to buy headphones for people with big heads.
That's it.
Don't wear. I'm just curious to see. Yeah.
That's all right, but...
You don't like it?
I don't like it,
because I'm a baby. Okay. Okay, just stick it down there.
All right.
And just make sure the microphone is pointed towards your... Okay. Jesus Christ almighty. The stress. Are you on, Hannah?
Yes, I think so.
Okay.
Just calm down, David.
Just calm down.
Calm down, dear.
Do you want to introduce us, Jack?
What is it?
What's wrong?
There's no sound coming out.
There's no sound coming out of what?
Out of...
Just stop it there, Jack.
Did you hear that?
Yeah,
I hear it.
Can you hear it fully?
Yeah.
I can't hear it at all. Can you hear that?
Yeah.
Well, anyway, welcome to the show.
Wait. Why can't you hear that?
I don't know. It's strange. Anyway.
Well, stop it.
Can you hear that?
Yeah, but you have to be able...
Can you hear that?
Yes.
Yeah.
I can't hear that. That's very strange.
Where's your headphones plugged into, Jack?
What happened?
Well, it'll be a talking discourse episode.
Okay, just introduce the fucking piece of shit fucking podcast.
This is all staged, isn't it?
Fucking useless piece of shit. You're supposed to be the sound man. You know, this is. You have to get everything. No, I'm fired. Okay, let's go. Just introduce us.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome a very happy show starring David McSavage and Hannah Andrews with special guest Martin Angolo.
And welcome to my incompetent princes who can't even figure out how to operate sound, and I'm embarrassed on their behalf. It's just a tragedy. Welcome, Martin.
Thank you.
Well, I think embarrassment runs in a family. We were embarrassed yesterday, but we're going to talk about it.
That's why it doesn't feel so bad. You know, it just feels normal.
Well, yes. Knowing that Martin was coming here today, me and Hannah watched all the episodes of last one.
Laughing. Well, maybe we should first introduce our guest.
What's that sound?
There's no sound. Do you hear some?
Maybe that's instead.
I'm so sorry, Martin.
I thought this was like going on Joe Rogan.
Yeah. No, but normally things are. Anyway, listen, it's fucked. The whole thing is fucked. But maybe this is the way. Anyway, look. Martin, let's just get straight into it. Did you see Last One Laughing?
Yeah.
Did you see all the episodes?
Yeah, I did, yeah. They sent me a few in advance.
I couldn't watch it.
I watched like to see if I was, you know, if I did anything. I watched like the first two. I was watching it on my phone and I went, oh, this isn't good.
Yeah.
And then I went to the screening of it with a crowd and it got laughs. People seemed to like it.
Yeah.
And, okay. I mean, it's one of those, if you watch it by yourself, it's like, I think it's depressing.
Yeah. Well, at least you knew, when you say it wasn't good, did you think you weren't good on it?
That, and the kind of show, well, you know, it's a light show.
It is a light show, but the dynamic, like I know Martin, and I felt comfortable with Martin, I guess Deirdre O'Kane. But yeah. A lot of the others I didn't feel comfortable with. But I'm not sure if I should even talk about it. You know that Danny Boyle film where it was set in India and it was Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? And all his previous life experiences led up to this point whereby he's answering questions that he had direct experiences of. And it felt a little bit like that for me because, like, you know, I used to be friendly with Aisling B and then we fell out. Right, and then I hadn't talked to her in ages. Then you won.
Oh, yeah, she was in your
Savage Eye. There was one time I think this is the last time she was recording, and I ignored her all day because I was going out with Fiona O'Shaughnessy, and I wanted to keep all my, you know, attraction for women to Fiona. So I thought if you even looked at Aisling B, something might, you know. Out of my fucking mind in a codependent relationship. Madness. How could you even explain that? But from that moment on, actually never, we fell out. And, you know, Irish people and the resentments, that's it. You just hold, you know, it's like the definition of Irish Alzheimer's.
Maybe
you forget everything except your resentments.
Care. That's what you think. She probably doesn't even care.
Okay, thanks, Anna. Well, you see, because you're not Irish, you don't understand. Resentments are like golden nuggets of pure gold. Anyway... So that, and then what's that other one? Catherine Bohart, I felt, hated me. And I was very nice to her any time I met, but I just felt that emanating, you know, and she was there just to she was like a counterpuncher. She was just there on the sidelines waiting for an opportunity to fucking...
Yeah, but not only against you, against almost everyone.
Yes.
Like she wasn't playing nice part. She was against Deirdre O'Kane trying to, you know, tell her that she's old.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And
Deirdre, there was some nice little...
Deirdre stood up on herself for herself.
Yeah, it was very funny.
She didn't let her get the upper hand.
No.
Even once.
So then Paul Tarlac, who I know, you know, he was in The Savage Eye. I feel particularly annoyed because he commented on one of the things that I did, which wasn't that funny anyway. But for him to fucking criticize it, he was like a fucking dead fish floating around the pond of that thing, you know, the fucking cheek of him. Sorry.
Yeah.
You know, lovely guy, Paul. You know what I mean?
Lovely guy.
You have to say, yeah. But actually,
I'm staying quiet because I might work with these people.
No, whatever. Yeah.
Yeah.
But the thing is, it was quite humiliating at the end, Martin. Me, you, yeah. And Paul. So there you go, Paul, Martin, and David. Now they couldn't fucking make people fucking laugh. What a pile of shit. Like I've been a comedian for 25 years, and you can't even make people laugh. Here you go, and the three of us walk out.
Yeah.
Like, it was like walk of shame. Three large men walking together.
Yeah, it was quite sad, wasn't it? At the end of that.
But I remember I was trying to get you going or something, and I could just see there was just nothing. You were just an immovable object.
Yeah.
But also I wasn't being go on.
Well, I remember early on, I was watching it back on. None of because we had a lot of interactions, a lot of chats.
Yeah.
And they didn't mention you being hypnotized.
Yes, that's right.
So you're just off for no reason.
Why didn't they mention me being hypnotized?
I don't know.
I thought that maybe there was some legal fucking reason or something.
Yeah, maybe you shouldn't have done it, or maybe, you know, that changes your personality.
Or it would set a precedent for future shows. And
yeah.
So I did talk about that.
Yeah.
So I went to two sessions of hypnosis.
Yeah, and you know what I think? It is a show that you have to take lightly and you have to have fun. You look like you did not have fun. A lot of people did not have fun either, you know?
Mm.
And you actually should have even, like, you have two chances. So you should have actually let yourself laugh once.
And then the other one, so I watched all the episodes, right? And listen, these TV shows, these big, they're formats.
Yeah.
They're tried and tested things. And that's why, you know, like a production company, like Darren Smith's production company would take it on, because it's very low risk in terms of it falling on its arse, because it's being tried and tested in other territories. It's a bit kind of, I don't know, we were all a bit sort of
what's the crack with the rubbish bin? How did that come about?
Well, the rubbish bin idea, again, it was just an idea that I'd never really, I had this idea whereby, what was it? The rubbish bin, I was trying to solve the housing crisis. Yeah. And so, you know, the future is small, so we all can live in these things and we can stack them up. And then I was trying to pretend that I was now living in this rubbish bin and my neighbors were being really loud and this is how you deal with them or something. But anyway, it was a very embryonic idea. And I mean, it's one thing dying on your arse in front of a small crowd, but on a global TV show. And then to cap it off, fucking Paul Tylek, who was walking around like he was in an old people's home playing dad's jokes that they're probably funny like for an hour in the Comedy Cellar in 1979.
That was what Katrin Bohart, she was always saying, that they're old comedians, and can we bring someone who's temporary?
Contemporary,
yeah.
Well, she was there for that reason.
Yeah.
Before you got into, before Laugh Out Loud Laughing, were you excited about it, or what was your thoughts going into it?
Well, I watched the other ones. They sent, you watched the other ones. And, I'd seen the Japanese one, which was proper extreme.
Mm.
But, like, I knew it wasn't going to be that level.
Mm.
I had no idea. Like, even when I went in, I went, oh, this is proper, like, you know.
Oh, how much
money you've been putting into it?
It was an extraordinary. There was this giant warehouse. I can't remember what part of Dublin, but they built this huge, enormous set.
Yeah,
I mean, it was a massive fucking production, on millions and millions.
The most cameramen ever involved in basically. I know guys who work on sports and stuff, and every single camera guy was there with a camera, you know, everything set up, and compared to any RT show you do.
Mm.
It was like incredible money put into this.
Mm.
It was very light. It was, no, but you know what? It was, I don't know. I think I should have prepared more. Or as we were saying afterwards, because we ended up doing a bunch of gigs afterwards where you were just like constantly at me going, it's not going to turn out well, is it?
But I think holding my hand. I think you probably, David, wanted to wing it. You didn't prepare.
Wing it?
Yeah.
Win it.
Win it or wing it?
Wing it. In a sense, like, I think that maybe other people prepare more stuff.
Well, I prepared. I think maybe we were a bit too prepared. I just think. Yeah. Sorry, yeah, go on.
I think, a mix of being overly prepared. Because I was relying on, I have these things that I wanted. Basically, I thought, I didn't think they'd be like, I'd crack up comedians, but I thought like bringing double bass, it'd be a nice image on a show for people watching,
right?
More than in the room.
Yeah, yeah.
I wasn't taking the game seriously.
Yeah,
I'm not here to. They're not gonna.
Fuck! I wish I thought like that. Yeah. Don't take the game seriously. I took it way too.
You're just too competitive.
Well, I don't know. Too competitive.
That's what you say. You're supposed to have fun.
Yeah, but I kind of, you know, you're all competitive, and you've got this kind of con. But you can't perform in front of people who you don't like or who you feel don't like you. It's ridiculous. Yeah.
But also, you have to make other people laugh. You've forgotten about the.
Oh,
most,
and by the way, excuse me.
Thing.
I did. I looked at the show, and I did make Emma Doran fucking laugh.
On a technicality.
Well, it was a technicality, but I was pushing her around on the bike, and she laughed while I was pushing. So, you know, I'm kind of... Well, they didn't make anybody laugh, but I did. I made somebody laugh.
You swung a sausage in her face or something.
Yeah, that was the best scene.
Yeah.
Just cuts to you just wiggling a Frankfurter in front of...
But that was Doran's your best face. Bit. You wiggled the sausage. Yeah.
Listen, I couldn't agree with you. And the thing is, at least we're aware that we... I'm very aware that it was... I mean, the last episode, Hannah, was...
I was... You know, it was so painful. I actually felt in my body. I just was
What was it in particular?
you know,
was it when Bernard O'Shea came on?
Oh yeah, and the Bernard O'Shea when he came on, and you just like forgotten that you were on a national or multinational
global.
That was
the good part, because it brought a bit of tension, a bit of drama.
But, like,
you know,
people were not aware what was going on.
Okay,
like,
well,
the
you know,
Joker brought Bernard O'Shea, who looked like from asylum seeker. I can't say it, like from the mental hospital. You know, holding the guitar, just, you know, bare feet. You know, like,
yeah.
What was he all about? Was he? And then the game he introduced, and then your reaction. It was just like, what's going on? No one has a clue. It makes everyone so uncomfortable.
Yeah, but this is what I'm saying. It was like, when life catches up with you or something. So there's Bernard O'Shea. Now,
and you,
I was very. Would you stop fucking interrupting me?
Sorry,
I'm so sorry, ladies and gentlemen. I have one thought. If you have a thought, I'm going to listen to it.
Sorry, I like.
And
you
don't bow your head down as if I beat you. Okay.
I'm just like Lady D, just like, well, there was three of us
in
a relationship.
I love Hannah. I respect her very much, and I'm being playfully bastardish.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay, look, you're making Martin feel uncomfortable. Yeah.
No, I don't like it when mommy and daddy fight.
So, me and Bernard were very good friends. Maybe, 15 years ago, right?
Sorry, all your stories start with me and this person were very good friends.
That's right. Me and Ashley and B were very good friends. Me, who else did I fall out?
Me and Bernard.
Paul Tyler. We gave him a job. We're acquaintances, and we're friends, but we're not close friends. But anyway, Bernard and me were close friends, and would it have been 15 years ago? I did the Kilkenny Cat Laughs Festival, and I fell out. I got kicked out. Something happened, but anyway, Richard Cook kicked me out of the festival, right? And then I did a street show, and I recorded all the people standing around me going, Richard Cook's a wanker. Richard Cook's a wanker. And then I projected that video on Vicar Street. And, you know, I was trying to get back at him. But literally, that was when Bernard cut me off as a friend, because I guess, you know, I've been shunned by the comedy community, and maybe his association with me would be bad for his, that's how it felt, for his career or something.
So he just,
but it was very
clever.
Let me finish the, okay. But what I'm saying, it was very hurtful, because I was very friendly with Bernard. I thought he was very funny, loads of potential. And so we hadn't really, well, we've met once or twice, but we hadn't talked, we hadn't hung out with each other since then. And so he comes on, I love you, Dave. And I'm like, you fucking cunt. No, you fucking don't. You fucking shithead. You absolutely don't fucking love me. And I'm not going to fucking play along, Amazon cunt. You know, Dave, I'm your friend. Fuck off.
Possibly you could have made the biggest, sketch of your life. But you
go
just...
Go on. How?
Playing with Bernard.
Point the camera in your face.
Playing with Bernard, making something out of the situation. I don't know. Be playful and funny. And you were just tragic.
How do you mean playful and funny?
I don't know. I'm not a comedian.
Well, what do you mean? Oh, in that situation?
Yeah, just not being just like, oh, fuck you, Bernard. I'm not your friend. Like, who cares what the reality is? It cares what you create. That's what you're supposed to do.
Yeah. No, you're right. You're right. Yeah, I should have just wrestled him to the ground.
Yeah, or whatever.
Oh, listen, like, that would have got everyone laughing if you started trying to fight him. Like,
yeah.
Play.
You waterboarded Bernard O'Shea.
But even that, that's like, I felt so restricted. I felt so conservative and,
yeah.
You know,
well, that's
just
what was great about that Bernard moment was it was real.
Yeah.
And I think it was better than whatever shtick he was going to do, you know.
But he's a funny guy, Bernard, you know. He's harmless.
Yeah.
But I
think he did this series about the 80s.
Bernard
and it was funny, wasn't it? I think it was funny. I didn't watch it much, but I think it was. Yeah. Did you watch it?
Of course I didn't watch it.
Bernard and Eamon.
Bridget and Eamon. Oh, Bridget and Eamon. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It was good. I mean, for RTE.
It's my favourite show.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it was good.
Mm. For people who find Mrs. Brown's Boys a bit too highbrow, it's good. I have no issue with Bernard. Why? I'm getting linked in with this now.
Martin, do you share any of David's kind of traits of resentment and general hatred?
No, I don't care. I think you're sensitive, David, really.
Well, no, I think you're well adjusted and you're sort of breezy and you go into the clubs and you don't get involved in all the fucking drama.
Yeah.
Isn't that fair to say?
Fair enough to say.
Yeah.
Don't get involved.
I'm just interested, how did you start your comedy? Did you just walked into it, or because you didn't? I saw in the paper, you were a national paper receiving junior certificate with your mom.
What?
Yeah, I've got it here. We can put it in. That you were in the
Martin,
paper.
Martin
yeah.
was in the newspaper as a
yeah,
kid.
Yeah, as a kid. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I could. No. Okay, I don't
look,
know.
Look, I'm going to find it. You can talk. Oh, so God. You can. God. Oh, look.
We know a lot more about you than.
Oh, wow. Big day for the. Okay, yeah. Shall All right. We? I just did the junior cert.
Yeah, junior cert.
And they wanted a black kid in the paper. That's all that was.
What year was it?
That would have been third year. Yeah.
Third year, but what year? In 20.
I have no idea.
I think you've triggered Martin for some reason.
You're already there with Destiny.
I just didn't think you. I just didn't think you'd do research on this podcast.
Fuck Anna.
I thought we were going to lay at the Paul Tyler for an hour. Yeah.
But I love Anna's gone deep into the research. Now there's a picture of you. Is that an Irish speaking school?
It was an Irish speaking school. Yeah,
so you're fluent in Irish?
I'm not fluent anymore, but I can have a conversation just about. But my grammar's. I did one Irish language. There used to be more Irish language gigs around, but they were. Proper Gaelgors are.
I think it's awesome if you
With Aideen McQueen and Eddie Mullarkey.
I didn't do their one. Yeah. they offered it to me and the money wasn't great. I mean, think of those Irish language gigs, that's where the money is. But I did one in November and in Mayo and it was all proper Gaelgors. And we thought it'd be people who are a bit mixed, haven't done it in a while. Whatever, and the host went up, who here speaks Irish? Everyone's like, yeah, we speak proper Irish. And you're doing your stuff, you don't get heckled. Like, you don't get proper heckles. The heckles just correct your grammar. I'm trying to do a joke here. It doesn't matter.
Can you remember a short joke in Irish? No.
No, not now. No. I've erased it from... People have offered me since gigs in Irish, and I just turned it down. Yeah. I went back to my school. I did a speech in my school to encourage kids to speak Irish.
When was that?
I think I did that. That was probably 6 years ago.
You think your Irish was a bit more fluent?
It was a bit more. There was a few more Irish language gigs at the time around that. So yeah. I did an Irish language film, Frank and Rocha, and I worked with the director before. He liked my stand up. He was like, "I want you in this film. You'll be the comic relief in this film." And I can't act. But even in Last One Laughing, you see people improvising whatever. I can't join in with this. I can't do accents or anything. And he's like, just be yourself, be fine. And there was loads of lines. So I haven't spoken Irish in a while. The casting people had to get me on tape, went through the script, and then the director was like, "Oh, that's great." And then the casting people were like, "We'll get you back." And I met, I think Maureen Hughes is like a big casting woman, right?
Jesus Christ, don't even talk about getting triggered. I told you about the Maureen Hughes story.
No, I don't remember.
Oh, okay, we'll exchange Maureen Hughes stories.
But shall we finish this story?
Sorry, yeah.
Okay, mine's a bit lighter.
No, I apologise. Yeah, you're so right, Hannah. You're so right. I apologise.
Hannah's done fucking weeks of research on these. I met Maureen Hughes one-on-one, and she goes, "I saw the tape. You're not an actor." Yeah. And she's wearing typical acting teacher, all black.
Oh, she's awful.
Oh, she was fine.
She's awful.
But anyway, wait a second, you will have your turn.
But anyway, she goes, I'll go through this line by line with you. And she can't speak Irish. And she's going, she's mispronouncing everything, trying to get this character down. And we spend about half an hour. And she goes, I've worked with everyone. I'll get you to act. And after about half an hour, she goes, I don't see it working out. But she was very, she did say, I really want you to get this part because I think it's very important we have more diversity in these films, And she goes, I've got a mixed race child myself. And puts her feet on the table. And she goes, he has two parents, one black, one white. And she goes, my husband's black. And I said, I didn't think it was you, Maureen.
Yeah.
And she just stared at me, and it was just awkward. And it was just like, you better leave now.
She said like that.
she just.
What the?
I was trying to make light of it. She's just like.
Yeah.
And then the next week, I got
trying to show her sort of bona fides, or the.
Yeah.
It's a bit awkward.
It was a bit awkward, but I think that's acting in general. I think actors are strange people anyway.
Oh yeah, very much so. Yeah.
But anyway,
yeah.
The end of the story, I got a call from the director a week later going, "Yeah, I had to talk with the casting people. We've got a new role for you in the film. If the guy's called Martin, you've got 5 lines. Learn them and just say them." And that was my role in the film.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was...
It's very ignorant, I have to say, for a casting agent to say to someone that they can't act. I mean, no, it really is Martin. Yeah. I don't like it.
No,
I don't like it at all. Because you like, I would use you in a heartbeat, for your Martin-ness or whatever you have. I mean, I've said this to you a lot, that you're... I'm going to sound quiet, but you're very likable on stage. You've got immense likability, which is huge in acting. In fucking stand-up. Fucking, I'm so angry now. I've lost the fucking power of speech. But I'm whatever I come up with next. You're in it. You've got the part. Fuck that.
So we're so angry. Prove that Martin's gonna,
he's a great fucking
gonna be
dude.
In the movie. And he's
fantastic.
Gonna be himself. He doesn't need to act. And we're gonna just write the part for him.
Yeah.
I'm dizzy with anger.
Cut to Fabu D in the fucking thing.
And So can we know how did you
Fabu D's a great actor.
Into the how did you start comedy? You know, like.
Can I do my Martin?
Maureen Hughes.
So I was auditioning, and I've told...
Are you going to regret it?
No. I know that...
It's already a regret.
Maureen Hughes has told a version of this story, and she's told... I don't know if she still tells it, like, at the drop of a hat. She dines on this fucking story, because I've heard it from various people that Maureen Hughes has been talking about.
You should tell your side.
Definitely. Okay, so my side of the story was... I think it was my first ever audition, 20 years ago, maybe. I go in, Maureen Hughes is there... Right, and she's got the camera, and there was some kind of interaction, and she said, "Am I making you feel nervous?" No, back then I was way more self-destructive than I am now, and so I said, "Yeah, you're making me feel like I'm being, I don't want to use the, or by a swan, it rhymes with vaped. You're going to use the word vape. You're making me feel like I'm being vaped by a swan, right?" I said that to her.
No way.
Yeah.
You actually say it?
Yeah, I said to her, "Yeah, you're making me feel like I'm being vaped by a swan, right? Vaped by a swan." And but subsequently, obviously, they didn't get the part. Obviously, subsequently, she.
But did you audition?
Subsequently, she went around and told the story. Yeah, after I did the Savage Eye, and I got a bit of profile. And she said, and David McSavage came into the audition, and he said to me, "I hope you get vaped by a swan. I hope you get vaped." It's a massive difference between saying you are making me feel like I'm being vaped by a swan, as opposed to me saying to a woman, "I hope you get vaped by a swan." It's dreadful.
Yeah, you would never say that.
So it's slanderous. Yes. She's creating, that's who David McSavage is. He's disgusting. Mm. And obviously it would have affected... casting directors or casting, because she's a big thing in the
casting
acting.
Word.
You know, the actors sort of in her orbit, kind of Maureen,
Yes.
Their heads right up her arse, so she can fuck off. And you're right, actors, a lot of them are just little flibbity gibbet fucks with no opinion. And anyway, don't get me started.
The wrong opinion.
But that's okay. But by the
opinion.
Way, it's fine. Actors are okay. You know what I mean?
Comment down below which story you believe.
But yeah. But
we'll take a poll.
But the point is, they shouldn't be as revered as they are, because, anybody, a 5-year-old kid can act, a 95-year-old person can act, anybody can fucking act. It's not that fucking difficult, okay? And also, somebody's writing their fucking words for them. And, oh my God, Andrew Scott. Well, like in a real life situation, you don't need Andrew Scott. He's not going to help you. He's not an alpha male. It's baked into our DNA. We're tricked into believing that he's an important person. He's fucking not. Andrew Scott is not important at all. See ya. Good night. Good luck. And don't ever... brilliant actor. Let's do a fucking scene now. Come on, come on.
What scenario?
I've lost my keys, and you have them, and you're lying.
From Goodfellas.
We don't know the words. We're improvising.
Yeah.
Do you have my keys? You have my keys, but you're lying. You don't.
You need to hire Martin as a diversity thing, and you're a casting agent.
Go on. Okay. Where are my keys? I've been looking everywhere for my keys.
Did you look?
Are you sure you haven't seen them?
Oh God, my pockets are empty.
Oh, why would you say your pockets are empty? Like, I mean, I didn't even think your pockets. Do you have my keys?
I don't think I have pockets.
Oof. That's brilliant.
That's good. Good acting.
Yeah, tension. I love it.
He's got shit in himself, I'd say.
So the last one laughing thing.
Oh, okay. Can I just say about that as well? The last one laughing. Well, I cracked me up throughout the whole thing was, you know, if someone laughs or whatever, they'd stop the game, and the director would come in and basically give everyone cues for, like, you're going to do your bit in 5 minutes, 20 minutes. You have your prop ready, whatever. And you keep going up to Dave and go, just be happier.
Oh, that's right. Stephen Bradley, Deirdre's husband, was producing my stuff. Very nice guy, all the rest of it. But he knew I was just feeling like out of water, fish out of water. But he kept on coming up to me, Dave, you're a good man. trying to make me feel like a...
Like a counselor.
I was cast in that show. I was the last person in the last one laughing cast. So there was probably a lot of arguments. I'm like, oh, no, we can't have him. You know. So, and I got paid. There was three levels of payment. I got paid the lowest. I don't know. I'm not gonna. That's your business. But you know, I'd say, like, you know, Amy and Deirdre.
Okay, we don't need to go. That's quite boring. That
is it.
Talking about who got paid, because you don't know. You just presume.
No,
yeah,
I know.
Yeah,
there was,
pay us right. You know.
I know
pay
there
Dave
was three,
right.
I know there was three layers of payments for the thing.
Look, it was made very clear to me I wasn't paid as much as Aisling B.
Yeah.
It was crystal clear.
By who?
Well, it wasn't. No one made a clip, but someone did say, like, because there's a few.
Well, anyway, no, but fair enough. Aisling's a.
Of course.
She's a star. And you know, well, Aisling was good. She was flitting around the place. She kind of got into the spirit of it, I think, a lot better than certainly I did.
She earned her money.
Yeah. And you know, but I don't know. It is right in a way. This guy said to me, like, being critical of Last One Laughing is like being critical of a Christmas cracker. I would say it's like being critical of somebody who's not well. It's not an intellectual, you know. It's not pretending to be anything other than just a little party game. Let's see who is the last one laughing. But definitely, I think if you take part in it, you really have to kind of be aware that, you know, not only do you not laugh, but you also actively have to make other people laugh. And the kind of things that make people laugh are not the well thought out kind of routines, just silly shit, you know.
And also, you know, the reviews were slating it, and but also online, like, I was expecting a huge backlash against it, because anytime there's, like, Irish comedy and anything online, people assume this is going to be shit. And they're usually right. But this was, and even the fucking production company, they were resharing all the praise for the show, and one of them was, I wasn't going to watch this show because the review was so shit, but I watched it. It's actually pretty good.
Yeah.
And they retweeted that.
Yeah.
It's got good reaction from the public. You know, it's not bad. Like, it's a funny show. Like, you know, it's fun to watch. It's a interesting concept and everything. But I think some people get a bit snobby and they feel like they're more intelligent if they don't like a show like that. You know, like, you read all that stuff. If you ever go on Reddit, like, people just hate on everything there. You know.
But for me personally, it was painful to watch because I just thought I was shite on it. I'm sorry to have, that's fine. That's okay. But you know, I'm just kind of.
On Reddit, I read something. They were like, I wasn't sure if I was going to watch the show, but then I saw David McSavage was on it, and I thought, how is this going to work?
Actually,
how is this going to work? It doesn't.
There was some page that was there was a lot of negative shit about me on something, and I can't
remember.
Reddit or something, and I was reading it, right? And you know,
excuse me. Honey, you're sitting.
And anyway, I forgot that I'd read it. And you remember that day I'd read
it?
And
last time.
Remember that day you were saying, "What's wrong with you? You're not yourself." That's because I carried the energy of all that fucking, those negative reviews. It's really not smart to read all that shit. But it is quite shocking, you know, when you're there. He's a fucking cunt. He's insanely piece of shit on fun. I can't stand this bastard.
Yeah.
It's quite. Have you ever read anything like that? Or
no,
have you?
I try and avoid it. I don't take it seriously. You can't take the compliment seriously. And if it's all ridiculous. I don't take the internet seriously. I don't think it's.
And I think those same people that are writing that, if they met you in real life, they'd be like, oh, hey, Martin, how you doing?
Yeah, although I've met people who know people I know who've gone, I mean, he was a bit of a cunt in real life. Because I think if you meet someone, I'm always, you know, polite, and then you get a bit, you know, you take the piss.
Yeah.
That's your sort of, you know, you do comedy.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes people will hang around with you and they go, oh, you're great, you love your comedy, but they hang around a bit too long. I'm happy being a bit rude after a while. There's a courtesy. 3 minutes. Get your photo, whatever. And then you're like, okay, you're kind of eating into it. But you do it in.
In a take the piss kind of way, which is I think kind of shows it shows a humanity shows that you're it's a way of showing affection in a way that you feel comfortable enough with the person. Doesn't always go down well.
No, but then comedy is so, I don't know, personal, where people go, if they don't like this certain type of comedy, they'll go, this is fucking the worst thing.
That's right.
But with music, people go, I'm not just starting to jazz.
But that is so right, Martin. That's the thing that I was watching. When you get comedy wrong, the hatred that you get is inappropriate. People really hate it when you get, because they feel sort of instantly swindled. Like, I mean, I just saw that. The last one laughing, and there was lots of big spaces in it that were just like, oh god,
yeah,
it was pretty bad.
Yeah, but like, are you talking about yourself?
Yeah,
or the whole show?
No, I'm talking.
What did you think of Tony's cat performance?
Well, that was funny.
I thought it was good, funny. Yeah. I thought you put you know, a lot of effort into it, and because this is the show where you have to. I don't know if you noticed that. You know, you have to. Oh,
sorry. I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to hit you that hard. Did I hit you?
That's abuse.
Did I hit you? Do it like. Not, but it's a shock.
Oh, I'm sorry. Sorry.
We got that on camera.
Sorry.
You know, David, you can't edit. You can't do it.
You can't edit that out.
But this is.
You basically vaped her with a microphone.
Oh my god.
I just set up the super like on YouTube. So if you want to send some donations for Hannah.
For my, you know, teeth operations, I need to get a new one done. But anyway, this is kind of a show that, you know, last one laughing, that you need to be silly.
Yeah.
A lot of sex jokes because, you know, like if you look back, so there was Amy Huberman having big tits. There's Jason Byrne having the fake nose, talking as the penis with the balls, you know, him showing the ass, you know, a lot of about squirting, you squirting the thing. It's all, you know, and I was just like surprised. The society changed so much that, you know, you can talk about sex and squirting and this and licking and no one really is like shocked or surprised or like it's very hard to be, you know, getting something new, which is like, wow.
Yeah. It's like younger people watching that. It's like they've like. It's not as big of an impact for people who are of a older generation, you know, because maybe they just look at it and they're like, oh my God, that's ridiculous, you know, and that kind of extravagant humor, you know, people are more cynical. And stuff.
Deirdre Kane came across very well, I thought.
Oh yeah.
Deirdre.
Yes.
And
Tony's cat thing was funny, but I'm glad I didn't do it. I wouldn't have done that. I couldn't have seen you doing that.
I could have done that. No, but you're right. Tony's cat thing was good, and
you should have dressed as a woman or something.
No, but I did. I tried. I put on fucking makeup. But I was doing it. But I was doing it too. I was doing it for myself. I've lost the fucking plot. Have no idea. And then you know, like people don't realize we were in that room for about 10 hours, and you know, and then like Jedward come out 7 hours in, and I'm like, oh fuck off. So I'm so rattled by these, like it feels like you're in some psychopathic old people's home, and they're you're in a hospice. Come on now, Martin and David, here come Jedward now for your love, and you're going like, fuck you, fucking Jedward.
Apparently, we both had the same reaction when they came. The camera guy told me. He could see the two shots and we both went, oh, for fuck's sake.
It's Edward. Yeah. It was like scraping the bottom of the RT barrel.
I know.
I mean, there is only a bottom on the RT. The barrel, there's just bottom. It's just variations of bottom in RT. It's rubbish.
Grave Norton.
I think from those scraps, you could have made great comedy.
I could have made great comedy.
Yes.
I know. You're dead right.
You could just come up and shove the whole cake in Jen Norton's face. Stuff him up like a goose.
Yeah,
and,
yeah, that's the thing.
And you make, you know, what if you stuff the goose?
You're right.
You make foie gras. Yeah.
No, but Hannah's right. Martin, you know, when they
I'm a better comedian.
When they held the thing, when they opened the thing, we should have just held it back on their fucking heads.
Yeah.
And just banging the fucking thing. Do you know what I mean? And going, fuck you.
What did they do with the Japanese one? Did they do some mad stuff? Like one guy gave another guy a wank or something? You know, like some crazy stuff.
Yeah, just something up his ass.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you know, we should have literally just beaten them up or whatever, you know, vaped them. But that's what I mean, Martin.
I know.
It's like I was imprisoned or something.
You were frozen.
I was frozen,
Your brain didn't work.
No.
You were just like walking there and you forgot.
It was like you were hypnotized.
And then I see Paul Tyler pulling out his fucking notebook. It was just anger. It made me really angry.
And then angry with yourself.
And then who else? Oh, Christa Berg. Fuck me. This tiny old guy, you know, coming out of a closet. Lady in Red. Fuck off.
Listen, like, he was funny, but he was picked on because of his height. Like, everybody. I mean,
it was much worse.
Can't you just come up with something really innovative? Just about the height of the guy.
Oh,
He's really small, but so fucking wild.
Yes.
He's a great singer.
Well, Well, he was in there for longer. It was cut because they had to be. Darren was telling me we had to be kinder to him in the edit. So we're trying to get comments from people being nice about Christa Berg because he was in the room and Jason kept going to him. I thought you were fucking dead. to Christa Berg's face. Mm-hmm. And Christa Berg was like, apparently he walked in thinking this is going to be an RT show. And he walked in, he looked around and he went, oh, this is like proper. Maybe I could do another song because he did like two songs.
Or did he?
He did like Patricia the Stripper or something.
Oh, fuck off.
And they were like, oh, you only need to do Lady of Red. And he was like, I'll do a medley. And he insisted on doing more because he thought this could bring me back. Yeah.
No, he didn't think that, did he?
I don't know what he thought, but yeah.
No, I don't know. I don't know. But like, it was really, you know, jokes a little below the belt, like to.
Ah, yeah. Of course.
Well, you know.
Well, you know.
That's what's going to make a comedian laugh, though. You have to be as inappropriate as possible.
Yeah, but it's not even inappropriate. It's just so obvious. He's just short and small and, you know, so what?
Yeah. No, but I hear what Hannah's saying. A lot more juiciness and creativity. We could have, you know, we could have tied him up. And put him in a closet.
I was just like, I can't believe it.
No, but you know what I mean.
Stuffed him in the closet. Stuffed him in the locker.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, you could.
But you know what I mean. Like we could have gone full on anarchy.
I know.
And I wasn't. I was all
and
shut down like
so
a fucking bitch.
You were.
I was a
so
bitch.
Middle class. Not a bitch. If you were a bitch, you would be funny. You were middle class, stuck up, frozen.
You were just eating the whole time.
Crumbs all over your face. I mean, like, did you think I'm going to eat?
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
You just stuff in your
the
face.
The full value of what I'm getting here.
Did you feel frozen as well?
I did feel frozen. Well, I felt because I had these bits and I kept being told, oh, 10 minutes and you can do this thing now. And then they go, oh, we're bringing in, they ended up bringing in Jedward or whatever. You can't do your thing now.
Yeah.
Or, you know, so everything kept, so in my head I'm going, okay, just, they want me to do this in 10 minutes, so I'll wait around, do nothing. And it never came, and you know, I just stood around for an hour there doing nothing.
So Martin, you know the way when I came off the show, I kept on, oh, I should have done this, should have done that.
Yeah.
What was there any bits that you think I should have gone, said this, or should have done this?
I had a few, yeah, there was a few props and bits that I just sort of just went, I should have went for that. And it, but even when we did the thing afterwards, I didn't even know there was a locker room and all these props.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
stuff you could grab. I didn't even think of that.
Yeah,
and like we were in a corner for ages chatting away. You were trying to do your mind tricks. You had these.
Oh God, yeah. What hypnotic. I was saying, when I say the word something, I'm going to make you laugh, and you're just looking at me. Go fuck yourself. And in my head, you know the way you know it's not fucking funny. It's stupid. Catherine Bohart. What Bohart? It's quite a strong name, Catherine Bohart. Anyway, she came up to me, and I think she had an earbug, and she says, I mean. A little microphone in her ear that Graham Norton was giving her instructions, and he said to her, go over and say to David, the place is very messy or something. Now, I just kind of, I went like, oh yeah, well, I think, you know, some people are messy. I should have been like, oh, you want to see fucking messy, do you? You want to see messy? Yeah, I'll show you fucking, you want to see messy? Messy. Yeah. This is, and then, you know, fucking, you know, covered myself in butter and just gone buck. Yeah. Fucking mental, and ride it around the fucking floor like a freshly caught mackerel, and shoving and go like this. That's fucking messy. You fucking fuck yeah, you. You know what I mean?
Can we redo it and us were laughing?
You know what I mean? But instead, I'm just like a fucking.
This show seems so good. I really want to watch
in
it.
Just did the fucking dishes.
But I'm like a frozen piece of middle class piece of dead shit.
Yes, you a dead fish, middle class. You know.
And then you know, an A.B. Huberman with her fake tits, and like. Did that at any point make you laugh? I think you're going to
no,
laugh.
No, but like, I didn't know. At least she owned that thing. You know, at least she strapped it on and walked around and played with it, squirted and twisted the nipples. If you have done half of she done, you know, you probably would, you know, gone at least one laugh. That you wouldn't be on the walk of shame at the end. Sorry. I was so embarrassed yesterday. Yeah. So
I had a bit where I was going to make a huge mess. So I made a chili very early on. I spent fucking 2 hours making a chili.
Chili con carne.
There was no sharp knives. So they were like, get in there, start chopping up and make a chili. And I only had a butter knife and I cut my finger really badly. So it's a big plaster on my finger. That was like in the first 10 minutes. I'm gone.
Oh, that's right. I saw that.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
I thought it was on purpose because you're playing.
I end up, they're just going, quick, get that chili made. I've got a thing wrapped up, still bleeding. I'm getting blood in this thing and put it in a slow cooker. And they had a trap door. They were going to swap it around. And I was going to get this fake chili that was cold. And it had a fake bottom that I could drop in the middle of the floor and fall around and it make a mess. Right?
But
I know.
But what I'm saying is...
But like 4 hours in, someone gets eliminated and Tony Cantwell goes, is there a punchline with this chili thing?
Yeah.
And I don't know if we're doing it. And I'm just going, I'm just making a chili. Yeah. I just made a chili for 5 hours. It's completely pointless. You're like, fuck, what the fuck was I thinking?
But yeah, we should have been much more proactive.
Yes.
Much more this, much more that. We should have. And it was also really embarrassing that I was following in the fucking wake of Jason Byrne.
Yes.
I mean, he was just picking up props.
Yeah, yeah. Oh,
he was just picking up props.
Oh,
and yeah. and then
like
I started picking.
Shadow.
I didn't know what to do. I just looked at Jason and he was just picking up that. I didn't fucking pick up a sausage. Okay, then.
Oh, I'm being a clown because you're being a clown.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Embarrassing. It's so embarrassing.
I'm so embarrassed for you, David.
Hannah's referring to, we did a podcast with Phil Kay and I had fucking lost. I had left my two really expensive shirts in Galway and I was freaking out. And then I said to Phil, hey, I'm sorry about freaking out about those shirts.
Yeah. Phil doesn't own any expensive clothes.
He walks
really
around barefoot.
Like...
He walks around and he says, David, I was embarrassed on your behalf. Anyway, that's what Hannah's going. I'm embarrassed for you. That's her Scottish accent.
Yeah. Hannah, what did you think of the show? The actual, you know.
It's not my thing. I wouldn't watch. You know, that's why I had to watch it all at once, you know, and skip it intros and make it as short as possible. But I understand that, you know, someone who is a bit tipsy, light entertainment, someone in the background, you know, you just might even skip to the end and think who won and, you know, have a few laughs and see what they're doing.
Did you write one of the reviews? Sounds like it.
But you know, it becomes much more interesting because I didn't know that, let's say, that Japanese was such a hardcore. Because then it would just because that was so like fluffy, like a spaghetti, you know, fluffy. Not neither this nor that. That that joke with Anne Doyle. It was. I just didn't know. I don't speak Irish. I didn't know what it was all about. You know, it was stupid, I thought.
Yeah, it was a bit like, yeah, this is going worldwide.
This doesn't really make sense, you know?
Yeah.
It's not funny because.
But I guess people are other comedians are afraid to be too critical of it because, you know, like actors, we're all desperate for work and, you know, getting money and so on. But I don't think. What you were saying was that chilly idea.
Mm.
But like, you know, as you know, with comedy bits, they really have to be tried a lot of times before you're very sure whether they're funny or not.
Yeah.
And it's very risky to what.
Chilly. You could have feed that chilly to Jedward.
Yeah.
I know. But it was still boiling hot.
Well, it doesn't matter. No, put some water in it.
No, in other words, we had Jedward. Yeah. I mean, we had them and we just closed the fucking things, not let them out, wrap the thing and just fuck them out of the show. It would have been the funniest fucking thing. You know, you just they're in that thing. Just push them right out. Yeah. Let us out. Fuck off. you big idiots.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Speaking of Jedward, do you think they're embarrassed themselves?
I don't think so.
No, not in the slightest. No? They're like, you know, there's certain comedians that go on stage and even if they did a shit gig, I'm saying they'll come off. We did great. So there, Jedward are just. We did great. Everything's great. So
there was a part where they were there and they were talking to someone and they were like, yeah, we're 32 now, you know. they were just kind of like a kind of seriousness came over their face where they kind of had a moment of self reflection, you know.
But Jack, they're not comedians. They are just like what they are, like in the zoo,
they're just
like a circus. Yeah. You guys.
No, they were in X Factor.
But I mean, Graham Norton said something like, "Are they going to still be doing this like 10 years from now?" You know.
Yeah.
You know, like
I thought it was funny though when they said they called him Dad. Hello, Daddy.
yeah.
It'd be funny. Graham Norton adopts Jedward.
Yeah. We got angry at them because they're only meant to be in for like 12 minutes or whatever. He stayed for like an hour. And they had a whole bit, I don't know if you remember this, they had a whole bit on the stage where a writer had written a Jed talk, like a TED talk.
Yeah.
And there was all these like, oh, shit Jedward things. But Jedward were shitting on the bit, going like, "Now we didn't write this, guys." And a bunch of the comics were going, "You fucking write something then. You're giving out about the material. You fucking prepare something, Jedward."
Yeah.
And then like, yeah, it was just awful.
See, that would have been funny to put on the show.
But there was so much negativity. I remember thinking as well, I think I was very negative. Like someone would do a stage bit and I'd shit on it afterwards.
Yeah.
And none of that's used because it's like...
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And that's another thing, Martin. That's a good point. A lot of stuff that was shite. And then they had these clips of people going, oh, that I couldn't, you know, like generic...
Yes.
Kind of clips where people were reacting positively to stuff that was shite, which made, I mean, they cut it in a way that made everyone not look as bad as they could have, I guess.
Yes.
Which was decent of them, I guess. But even still, like in their attempt to make me look good, I was still shite. So can you imagine how shite I actually was?
I felt the worst though for Tony Cantwell. He had the most embarrassing moment in the whole show. I mean, maybe it wasn't the most embarrassing, but Amy Huberman was doing her mermaid thing, you know, and then he came out as a lobster.
Oh, yeah.
But then everyone was just kind of like, no, that's not your... people were making him feel bad for taking her shot.
I think actually, that's a good point, actually.
I felt bad for him.
Yeah, but I think everybody can identify with Tony Cantwell in that moment where they're trying to, you know... do something and they can see that he had a real reaction where he lost confidence in what he was doing and that's the game. Yes. So there's an authenticity to it. I don't think it serves him badly. I think he came across very well.
No, he did. Yeah.
I think it's a clunky edit as well because I think he came in singing some Little Mermaid song or whatever and we kept being told you're singing copyrighted stuff.
And then when Shane Daniel Byrne, who I wasn't aware of, but that's the fact that I'm culturally ignorant is not a badge of honor, but he's funny. clearly very funny. But the way Tony Cantwell, it was like he was like, you know, fucking Jesus Christ has just come in. He was like, yeah. Oh my God, he's got, you know, who yeah. who are you talking about?
But yeah. I think that I just look up and that's they have podcasts together, so they know each other.
Oh,
and some other guy, I don't know their names, but they have you know, they do some stuff together. So he was you know, like ecstatic that he saw him, and you know, whatever.
Yeah, I think Tony was also drunk. We're all drunk by the way, New York, but yeah, a lot of drinking. And I remember Tony, because he was shouting over, oh, Shane, he's hilarious. And I said, it'd be great if you could fucking hear him.
Because he kept
shouting. And at one point, it was near the end, Graham's trying to do the tension of like, Deirdre Jason is the last fight of sudden death or whatever. And Tony, I remember Tony going to Emma Dorn, oh, when's your next tour day, Emma? When's your next gig? And we're filming a show here.
Yeah.
So it was very messy.
Well, it was messy, but also we were all locked into that thing for like 10 hours.
I know.
10 hours, 11 hours.
That's not that long.
When was your...
I love the way people like comedians say 10, 11 hours. That's a long shift. That's a normal shift.
Why is there echo on your voice?
Hello?
Oh. Yeah, you pressed some button.
Oh, really?
Huh?
That's okay.
There's nothing there anymore.
But it was profound what Jack said. That's why the echo came on.
Yes.
How come you got into comedy, sir? That's what everyone wants to know. Or is it a boring question? Is that a boring question?
Well, is there any...
Did you do anything else? Did you go to university?
Get a fucking real job.
Or just immediately...
I'm one of those horrible... I did it in college. I was like 19.
Which college?
At Dunleary. The courses didn't even exist anymore. It was like English Media and Cultural Studies.
I did something like that. In Ballyfirm. Anyway.
I wanted to write stuff, you know. Like just comedy things, and then the only thing you could do is
from like early age or when did you feel it, like all of a sudden, like that call?
What did you see that's awoken that spark in you? You know, what did you see that you thought, oh, I'd love to do comedy or something?
All this, you know, all the good stuff from like the 90s, really. I don't know, like Vic and Bob and Harry Hill.
Vic and Bob and Harry Hill, they're so good.
I mean, that
Shooting Stars show, it's just the best. It really stands the test of time, I think.
Yeah.
It's very surreal stuff.
Yeah, all that surreal stuff stands, yeah. But so I was never a big stand-up fan. But then it was like, if you write something, I don't know what to do with a script or whatever you write.
Mm.
And it was like, if you write stand-up, you can test your jokes out, see if you are funny.
Mm.
And did the first gig in the Haypenny, the Battle of the Axe.
Oh, yeah, with Tony Ferns.
Tony Ferns. And yeah,
go on.
It was the week of, remember they had those, the RTE New Comedy Awards years ago. Sean Nolan won it. Remember Sean Nolan?
I do, Sean Nolan, yeah.
He did these one-liners. He was very good. But so the week, it was the week of the fight. I'd been watching it on TV. And I thought, everything, when you look up how to do stand-up, all the advice is from England. And it goes, it'll take you 6 months to get a gig. There's so many comedians. And I text Tony, it was the only open mic. Text Tony Ferns and he goes, are you around next week?
Uh-huh.
So I had to write a set.
Well, that's the great thing about Tony Ferns. He gave everyone an opportunity. It was really good.
And sometimes you'd be on with like a poet and then a singer.
What year was that?
This was like 10 years ago.
Okay.
Yeah. And it was the week of the final of the RTE thing. So everyone who was on that was doing a set to get their 5 minutes for TV ready.
Okay.
So so it was like a great lineup. And then, I hobble on. I did all right. It was a good gig. Yeah. I think Alison Spittle was the host, and she gave me loads of contacts. And then she went, oh, I haven't seen you around. You know, how long are you at it? And I went, this is my first gig.
Oh, wow.
And then she went, I probably shouldn't have given you all those contacts.
Yeah.
But she gave me like Aidan Bishop's email and all these people. Yeah, Simon O'Keefe. And I remember, actually, back to the last one laughing briefly, because I remember I was watching it back going like, oh, they're showing a lot of Aisling Bean and stuff in this. I mean, I was in the corner talking to Dave. I should have been I was talking to the wrong person. You know? And at one point, you realize this hypnosis stuff isn't working. And he just started giving out about people. And at one point, you're going, Simon, the guy who books the international bar, Simon O'Keefe doesn't fucking book me. I don't know why. And I mean, and I was thinking, this is funny. And if I laugh at it, they have to keep it in. It would just be on Prime, you giving out about the international bar at the time.
I was giving out about the fucking international bar on that show.
That
shows you how but I mean, how small-minded, shite fucking gig, and I'm going on about Simon O'Keefe.
I feel it so
fucking hell.
Millions.
Like, there's no way I'll ever make
like
it big.
Giving charity to the international.
So Bezos has pumped millions into this, and you're going, an intern.
The fucking intern. Oh, that's embarrassed. I'm embarrassed. I'm embarrassed for me.
Yeah.
Me and fucking Martin as tiny little fools over in the corner going beep, 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 beep.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, yeah, Aisling B and Amy Huberman, yeah, they were just.
I just wonder what was going on that Aisling B was holding Amy Huberman for
because
her up like
I think because you know that they're stars, you know, they're attracted to each other. Yeah. No. Maybe it's I think you know because Aisling B. Are they mates? They're probably mates.
I think they're mates.
Yeah, but why would you do that? You know, I don't know. Just holding up another person and carrying her around.
What do you mean carrying her around?
Yeah, she was. You know, like...
I liked it.
Jack, describe. Do you remember?
No. I don't. I think... No, I mean, they were just, you know, they were... She was touching her fake tits and stuff.
No, yeah, but that's a different thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, a lot of times, she would be just like picking her up like a child.
Whoa!
I don't. Yeah, I don't know. I skipped through it. I put it on for my mom because she wanted to watch it. And
was she proud? Like on that picture?
Yeah, yeah. You know, she keeps calling Jason. She goes, Jason Donovan was great on it. Jason Donovan. But yeah, I think she was like, oh yeah, sorry.
Yeah.
Have you noticed like an up a spike in your social media or anything since then?
A little bit. I've definitely found everywhere being nicer to me in terms of like, okay. Oh, do you want to get on the radio? Do you want to do an interview on the radio to promote your gigs? Do you want to do something? And like booking venues and stuff is so much.
Has it been easier?
Oh yeah.
Oh, that's definitely.
since last one laughing.
Well, I think the combination I have, you know, having a bit of social media following anyway helps.
Well, the your Instagram page like. Really got big because of one or two really viral videos. Did it?
A couple of stand-up clips. Yeah, it's all. Yeah.
That's it. I mean, it is. You know, you said you studied media or whatever. I'm just. And I've talked about this so many times. I don't want to go on about it, but it is so revolutionary. The fact that there's no commissioning editor. There's no somebody giving looming over you. You know, giving you the green light. It's all there for you on the, you know, Instagram. You can just load up your clips, and if one of them goes really viral, you gather more and more people, and you can sell tickets off the back of it.
Can I just interrupt? How Tony Cantwell got big. He's from Instagram or TikTok.
Yeah, but you also have
but it's not stand up. You know, he's putting a filter on his face and doing a character or whatever.
Yeah, like now, but like
He does stand up now.
But he started purely on Instagram or TikTok, you know, doing films. And what I saw...
Wouldn't call them films.
You know, films, the short films, shorts, you know.
They've got a bit of beginning, middle, and an end.
And then one got viral, like he got...
Scorsese wouldn't call what Tony Cantwell does a film.
I
understand, yeah.
Are you having a go at me?
No.
You know, like, hello?
Well, you just slagged off my entire shit. Do you think? The reason I'm here.
It's supposed to be nice.
No, I know. You went viral on Instagram with your sketches, all the old sketches, resharing them?
The Savage Eyes stuff. Definitely. I got a new generation of people started appreciating them, which was great. So that introduced me to a new audience. And... but just to me, it's amazing that, you know, you can record yourself. You come up with a funny bit, funny premise, 30 seconds, 40 seconds. And, you know, you get like, let's say 200, sometimes 400 new followers in a few days. And, you know, a tiny percentage of those people would buy tickets. But still, it's like a glimmer of light. It's hope that, you know, I'm selling way more tickets now than I ever have.
Yes.
And so that's down to the social media. So I'm so fucking grateful for it. You know, because I hated Instagram, you know, but then finally the penny dropped. And I think it's amazing. And also the fact that everybody has a phone in their pocket. So it's like creating a little mini TV show on people's phones, and they're always checking their phones, and it pops up. What?
I was just laughing because I actually saw Martin, your stand up. Yeah. A little bit. And then I remember one of your jokes.
Oh, yeah, go on.
Shall I say it or kill them?
Here we go.
You said something Nowadays, every person is staring at the phone of your phone for 4 hours. So my mother is staring all at the phone for 4 hours, but she's just had a landline. Isn't it? Yeah. Sorry. <you're...
laughs> That kind of thing, yeah.
That's
yeah.
kind of thing, you know. Yeah. I just ruined that. That's my standard. Yeah.
Can you hear that music,
yeah?
Jack?
Yeah, yeah.
You can hear it?
You can.
I can.
Oh, you can?
Yeah.
Yeah, because it was muted at the start. And I saw it. It was muted.
Oh, it was muted. Yeah,
thank
was,
you, Daniel. Unfucking believable.
Yeah, I realized it was unmuted.
Thank you, Daniel.
The show, and I just unmuted.
How
it,
about
so,
that, Daniel?
So yeah, that was.
Wow, Jack. Let's put it on you guys. Let's just focus on Jack. Yeah. Okay, Jack. What's your job, Jack?
Well.
Okay.
I wouldn't call it a job, so to speak. Well,
ooh.
Yeah. Just keep it on Jack there. Just have the moment of silence
for me. So anyway, my father is disciplining me for not having the sound on correctly, and you know he's valid in his anger. And
you're making me feel guilty. Go on.
is this on actual podcast channels now?
Yeah, it is. We put it up on Spotify. We reached number 19, didn't we?
In at one stage, but like not anymore. It's just flashing. Oh,
Hannah, hang on a second. Yeah, go on. What are we now? We're probably like.
I'll check. Hannah's being very pessimistic.
Yes,
you
know?
I'm not. I'm just being realistic.
Started putting up the, you know, like trying to optimize the channel and everything, you know. Yeah. Monetization, we just started that.
How much? Oh, yeah. How much money have we made?
We've earned, it's only the past few days.
Go on.
So we're up to under $2. No, but it's just, you know, small starts. You know?
Yeah, yeah. From small acorns, great yes. disasters grow.
And, yeah. Do you have a YouTube channel or do you post
I
on
do,
YouTube?
I do, but I was. So a guy told me how to do. TikTok and YouTube and
shorts,
I never commit to it.
So do you load stuff on Instagram every day?
Not every day. I go through bouts of it. I'll get like loads of footage and then cut it up and
yeah.
But it's a lot of effort.
Yeah, I like doing it though. I must say, I enjoy putting. You know, it gives me a sense of purpose. And I guess I like the relationship I have with people who follow me on Instagram. And, you know, I can sell tickets.
Yeah.
Like I've done a tour now and most of the gigs have sold out. I mean, thank God. So I feel like that is as a result of, you know, creating a crowd from Instagram.
Yeah.
What were the... But you had a media strategy. You said you did. You said you put up 30 videos.
A guy told me how to, again, so there's a guy, Irish comedian Dave Nihil in America. He's like half a million followers on Instagram and millions on TikTok or something. And he knew the strategy, which was you post a lot at once every day for like 30 days. And he knows all the times to post that. I don't know that.
Yeah, yeah.
But you post at a certain time. You edit the videos a certain way, you know, fits the screen. You put your own subtitles on it. There's all these little tricks, and then after 30 days, something should happen. It depends on the material and what you're putting up as well. Some stuff is more likely to go viral.
Right.
I don't know what that is.
So in other words, yes, the algorithm sort of starts to look towards you if you hit these things.
The phrase he used is you're feeding the algorithm.
Yeah.
So the algorithm knows, you're...
And shorts. They want shorts, loads of shorts.
Yes.
So,
shorts, we're not talking about YouTube, Jack. We're talking about Instagram, Jack.
Yeah.
What the hell? Are you following a different conversation?
But it's all the same strategy.
But David, that's the same. That's the same algorithm, the same way it picks up, you know?
Yeah. So he got a million.
To scream at Jack.
Yeah.
I was being playful, Hannah.
I know. But like, I think you
I can stand up for myself, Hannah, okay?
Okay.
Yeah. But yeah, he got a million on YouTube with the same technique. But yeah.
Oh, wow. We really have to look into that then.
A million on YouTube?
Just from doing shorts, like for 30 days, saying. Mm. But he was saying, according to him, there's not much money in YouTube. It was more, he gets it on TikTok.
Oh, okay.
He's doing Vicar Street this year. And yeah, I think it's nearly sold out. Off the back of, you wouldn't know who he is if you don't follow him.
Right.
Kind of thing. And there's a lot of acts like that. You just tour around, you wouldn't know who they are.
Yeah. Well, the good thing about you and me, if I may say, that we have done the work, I mean, in terms of going to clubs all the time.
Yes.
So, you know, we can back up if we do get viral and people... buy tickets, you know. Yeah. Whereas I think there are some people who just exclusively do Instagram, but if they do a show, it, you know, it's, it doesn't really, you have to put in the work.
Well, there's a big culture in England of comedians turning up. They all have the same sort of camera. You probably have one of these HD cameras, and they turn up to a club and do crowd work because they want to get a video to put online going on.
Yeah.
They don't want to give their material away because they can't really write material.
Oh.
So they're doing crowd work, thinking of questions like, what's your favourite colour, madam?
Yeah.
You know, just to get something to get online. I don't really do crowd work. I just put up material anyway because I think it's like...
What's your ambition, your goal? Is it to be a presenter, to do TV? But no, I think you'd be very good at that, I have to say.
Yeah, I'd like to write something and get it made. I'm a little old school in terms of, I would love to get money from a broadcaster and squeeze as much as you can out of them. And they should make something that, you know, they don't interfere. Like, I'm assuming the Savage Eye wasn't that interfered with by RT.
I love the way the Savage Eye was interfered with. No, it wasn't. No, we got notes from, I can't remember your man's name, the guy from Northern Ireland, the commissioning editor, and we'd ignore some of them and take some of them on board.
Yeah.
But there was a window of opportunity there, just the banks had fallen, all the revelations about the Catholic Church. So nobody, you could sort of get away with more because nobody was going to complain about satire, considering all these, you know, supposedly very respectable institutions were so corrupt, and it was before the woke thing happened.
Right.
So it was a nice little window. So we got away. We could say a lot of stuff that you can't say today. But then again, I think it's a sign of a bad comedian when they complain, oh, you can't say, you can always fuck around with whatever era you're in.
Yeah.
You know, the line is here and you play around with it and it's
comedians have been constantly saying you can't say anything anymore.
Yeah, they have,
It's always been, it's either been political correctness and now it's woke.
Well, let me say, some of the things you could do back then would be much more risky to put out now. Mm. But I guess that's the way. You know, Benny Hill. Could you put out Benny Hill now? I don't know. Would you want to?
Would you? Yeah.
Benny Hill. Why are we talking about Benny Hill? I'm fucking losing the will to live.
Anyway, we've been on 1 hour and 12 minutes.
Oh, shit.
Oh, really?
Wow, that's great. It shows you how exciting and amazing Martin is. I could just sit here and interfere with him all day.
And vape me. Yeah,
Christ.
I just want to only know: did I really upset you telling a joke?
No.
What are you talking about?
No, I was just, it's a cringy, really. Like,
yeah, it was. It was cringy, but it was very, it was very charming as well.
Because I'm just thinking, charming, you know, like, cringy. I'm telling you. No, because he knows.
But Martin knows that you've given enough of a shit to look into what does.
Yeah, it's a compliment. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, people will quote back stuff to you, but they'll get it a little bit wrong.
Yeah.
That's the only, you know, you just said it, you know.
But it was funny.
Set up,
it was
funny. No.
No.
Daniel, do we have Nicolas Cage news? Trivia about Nicolas Cage. Nothing trivial about Nicolas Cage.
A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P.
This is a segment.
Yes, this is a segment, yeah.
Okay.
That's all you have to do!
Yeah, I keep forgetting that. So Nicolas Cage is going to be starring in Lords of War, the sequel to Lord of War. Do you remember that film?
Yeah.
Lord of War, yeah. Well, he's going to be starring in a sequel to that, Lords of War. He's going to be playing his character again, Yuri Orlov. And he'll be starring Bill Skarsgård, and he's going to be playing Nicolas Cage's son in the movie. And it's all about them fighting out to see who's the Lord of War.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm just mindful of the fact that we've been broadcasting for 1 hour. That's nice. I thought last episode you told me Nicolas Cage was taking a fucking... Oh, he's only going to do 4 more films.
Yeah, 3 or 4 more films, and then he's apparently...
Oh, well, I reckon with Nicolas Cage's lifestyle...
He's going to retire and then... Well, retire into TV, that's what he wants to do.
Like, oh, well then, so he's still going to be acting.
Oh, yeah,
because he lives quite an exorbitant lifestyle. He's quite ostentatious with his money, buying fucking dinosaur eggs and fucking whatever.
So is there a reason for Nicolas Cage?
No, Daniel was, when he was young, he loved Nicolas Cage, and so now we have, like, the news is just about Nicolas Cage. So, Conspiracy Corner, Jack.
Okay, sir.
Thank you, Dan.
So,
So today on Conspiracy Corner, I'd like to tell the story of Gypsy Rose Blanchard. Has anyone heard of her?
Yes, yes. Yeah, yeah.
Well, I just recently heard the story, and it's trendy as well. So we want to, you know. But
Gypsy Rose.
Gypsy Rose Blanchard. Blanchard.
Yeah, yeah. And you could, it's an incredible story. And there's a TV series on Netflix called The Act. And it tells her story because it's just shocking.
So there's a documentary on Amazon as well. Yeah.
So you don't know
promote Amazon that word.
Yeah, yeah, we love Amazon. Yeah. So you don't know, Dave. Okay, you can see whether you think she was justified or not.
Yeah. I have no idea. Was she a singer?
I'm going to tell you what's going on. So,
okay, can you speak into the fucking microphone?
I'm about to tell you. Do you want to listen?
Yeah.
Okay, so she's born in 1991, Gypsy Rose Blanchard, and she's got a single mother, so the dad left when he was 18 because he just realized he didn't want to be with her anymore, the mother.
Wait a second. The dad left Gypsy Rose Blanchard
was
18?
Yeah.
No, when she was a baby, like while the mother was still pregnant, yeah. Right?
Oh, you mean Gypsy
Rose. So
where's Gypsy Rose
Blanchard? So they grew up just in... They grew up where Hurricane Katrina was, so that's somewhere in Florida or something.
2005.
Okay. So she's got a single mother. So she's born. And if you see the mother, she's got a bit of a look about her that she's maybe not got all the screws there. You know what I mean? And I don't know. But anyway, so the mother believes that she's really ill and she brings her to hospital. And the doctors start saying we don't think there's anything wrong with her, but she's really convinced that there's something wrong with her.
So the mother's mentally ill?
Yeah, probably. And okay. She starts going on like she has leukemia. And eventually she starts going to different hospitals and convincing the doctors that her child is sick and like giving her more medication, right? And then Hurricane
Katrina. That's called Munchausen by proxy.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So then Hurricane Katrina happens and she claims that all the documents of Gypsy Rose Blanchard are lost. So there's no medical records. So this makes it easier to deceive everyone. So then Hurricane Katrina happens, the two of them get a lot of attention and they get like a house set up for them, like from a charity. They're on the news, they're like the darlings of America. They're like showing this woman in a wheelchair and everything.
Who's the woman in the wheelchair?
The girl, the gypsy.
Oh, yeah.
They show her in the wheelchair and everything, and this goes on for a while.
The girl's name is Gypsy Rose.
Rose, and her mother's name is Dee Dee.
Okay.
Dee Dee, yeah. So this is going on for a while, like they're getting loads of money off it and everything like that. But eventually the relationship is really weird. Like she's like owning Gypsy, like she doesn't let her go anywhere. And she's, you know, giving her all this medication and she's fine. So then it's uncovered that it's all a fraud. And she goes to the doctor and she's got wrong with her is a bit of a lazy eye sometimes. Like she's got nothing else wrong with
Gypsy
her.
Gypsy Rose.
Yeah, she's completely fine.
Okay, what's the point of this? Go on.
Anyway, okay. She's trying to escape from her mother.
Right.
And her mother doesn't want her to escape because she's been looking after her all her life. And every time she escapes, she gets brought back. So she...
How old is she when she's trying to escape?
She's like 18, 19. Okay. She finds a boyfriend on a Christian dating website and starts telling him about the whole story and eventually ends up manipulating the boyfriend into killing her mother, right?
It's a true story, Jack.
Okay, go on.
Yeah.
But what's the conspiracy about this?
But what's the point of this story?
No, I want to listen. What's the conspiracy in the story?
I thought like her boyfriend is her brother or something. Or
no, the boyfriend killed her. But I was going to ask you because she's like, she eventually went to jail for a few years.
Not a few years, 8.5 or something.
Eight and a half years.
Gypsy Rose did.
Yeah.
And
she's like a really big star now.
And the guy, the guy kills
them. Yeah, he's in prison for murder. So she's on TikTok and everything. She's a big star. But a lot of people support her. They say like she was right to kill her mother and stuff like that.
Well, of course she wasn't right to kill her mother, because, for Christ's sake.
She didn't kill her mother.
She was abused, or like right to get someone to
I think people would say that it's not like, you know, there was motive. I mean, there was a lot of abuse. She wasn't in her right mind. Mm. But even still, go on.
Yeah.
And what's that? Is that it?
Well, yeah.
And now, now she's famous, and you're just, are you questioning, like, should she really be getting that kind of level of attention, considering that she was partly responsible for killing her mother?
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, I guess I thought it was going to be an interesting story. But
well. You see, maybe we don't know the full story, but and also you're saying that it's trending a lot. Like, people are really following this story.
Yeah. Well, yeah. It's just the fact that, like.
But should we be doing this story because we want to get more hits? Do we care about this story?
I care, but it's too short time to just have it brush up.
What did you?
Because the story is actually phenomenal. Because the procedures the mother put her through, she just actually had a feeding tube in her stomach. So she claims she can't eat. She said she has leukemia. She had her teeth pulled out because
she had her teeth pulled out.
Yeah, because of some sort of, she had like an eye procedures. She had like what do you call it? The gland glands removed.
Tonsils.
Not tonsils, salivary.
Saliva glands.
Whatever it's called. Removed.
Yeah.
Forever, you know. So she went through this whole stuff.
Oh, my God.
And she's got this really high-pitched, tiny little voice. And her mother forged her documents. So let's say she was 10, but she tell everyone she was 7. So she was completely sick. She said she can't walk. And she was on a wheelchair, but she could walk.
Yeah.
And she fooled all the doctors. Like, how the doctors could not see that she was...
phenomenal. People are mental.
She was, like, getting, like, a star award as a child.
The mother was, or the child.
As a child, because she was suffering and all this kind of stuff. I mean, it was ridiculous.
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay, well, what's the conspiracy of it, though?
Well, no, it's
there's no conspiracy.
Maybe not quite a conspiracy, but it is a conspiracy because they had their conspiracy.
How many followers she has now? She's got like 8 million. No, how many? Like enormous amount of followers, and she.
Hannah, we were going to do.
I already did my stand up.
Okay.
My stand up. I just say Gypsy Rose. There's a documentary about her just before she went to prison. Now there's a TV series about her coming out of prison. Yeah. She's getting more praise for murdering her mother than we did for Last One Laughing. Something's not right.
Can I just say we've learned a lot in this episode. We've learned a lot from each other. Myself and Martin Angola, we're both comedians. I've been doing it for a lot longer than Martin. Martin's just starting off, 10 years in. It's still, you know, young, and we met each other on this Last One Laughing thing. And
we met before that.
I know we met. I don't know what I'm trying to say. I'm trying to do a roundup like Dr. Phil.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah. Yeah, we did meet before that. But, I don't know. Do you think we got something out of the whole Last One Laughing? I mean, you know, in terms
of
experience.
Money. In terms of the experience. Well, I know we were saying that if we could, we'd love to do it again, knowing what we know now, how to do it. Like, going on a show like that, I don't know. I think I'd be more...
I think I might be able to give advice to somebody who is going on the show again, but it's too risky. I couldn't go on that show again, you know. And if it's just about money, I mean, I can figure out ways to make more money than I made in that show, so I wouldn't do it again.
Yeah,
personally, but I could definitely give very good advice to somebody in terms of how to play the game, I think.
I think stay away, David.
Stay away from me. Would you like to do the show again?
I think
not that show, but they're similar. Like, everyone wants to do, say, I don't know, like Taskmaster is the big one in England.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the new thing that everyone watches. And you get an audience from
But
it's a sort of similar thing. We have to be fun and try yourself.
Yeah, I really want to create a very simple but entertaining kind of format.
Okay.
Do you have a format?
Yeah. Okay, Hannah. You know, I mean, you're really clipping my wings here. Okay. Look, Martin. You know, thank you so much. I hope you will come back again. It was genuinely great to talk to you. You're a lovely man. You're a good man.
Thank you.
You're a quiet man. You're a gentle man.
Yes.
You are a man among men.
Can I mention my tour?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Absolutely.
I'm on tour at the minute.
I'm on tour as well. Where are you playing?
I'm all over. But if you follow me on Instagram, there's a link to everything. It's all selling pretty well.
Can people check out where your tour is?
Yes, there's a link.
What are your dates? Read them out.
Fucking hell.
Oh, fuck it. Go on. Do you want
the big to? The big one? The only one that needs help. If you're in Ennis, come to Ennis, would you?
What's the Glore?
I'm doing the that's in 16th of February. This will be up by then. Yeah.
Listen, if you're in Ennis, do yourself a fucking favor.
Yeah.
Because Martin is brilliant. He's one of the few comedians I can watch.
What's your favorite comedian, Martin? If there is one, because a lot still going.
Apart from David McSavage.
Yeah.
If there is like whatever
American, any world comedian,
you would listen.
Yeah, you know, I didn't get to see him when he was. I would have loved to have seen Sean Locke.
Live. Yeah, I saw Sean Locke live. Yeah,
yeah. Have you met him?
Very funny guy. Yeah. Really, really funny.
I'll tell you what, yeah.
I think he really found his home on that 9 out of 10 Cats. It suited his vibe perfectly.
Yeah.
So there you go, folks. And I hope you'll come back again. It would be a pleasure. Thank you, Jack. Thank you, Daniel. Thank you, beautiful Hannah. And we'll see you all next week on Tuesday.
Oh, you've earned the $2 from YouTube, eh?
Is that the new music?
We can try it, yeah.
We have to use new music.
It's not popular.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.